today's scripture reading. It's such a long reading that we broke it up into two parts. Becky read the first part, and then the choir sang, and I read the second part, 19 verses. So they were on the at the Sea of Tiberias, and they went fishing, and they caught nothing, and they saw Jesus, and Jesus told them to put out on the other side of the boat, and then they caught the great catch of fish, and then Jesus had breakfast on the beach waiting for them over the fire, and then they had breakfast, and then we had this little threefold exchange between Jesus and Peter. Do you love me? Of course I love you. Feed my sheep. So it's hard to know where to begin with all of these things going on, and it's hard to know where to dig in and focus. So I think what I'm going to do today, instead of digging in and focusing on one facet of the reading, today I'm going to lift up just three sentences from these 19 verses, just three sentences, but hopefully we can get a sense for the breadth and the wisdom and the beauty of this text before us today. So the first sentence I want to lift up for you is, do you love me? Now, some of this may feel like review because I know we've gone through some of these details before in the past, but I think these details are worth repeating because the grace here is worth remembering. Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Not once, not twice, but three times. This might seem a little pushy, maybe even mean-spirited. Peter's feelings are hurt. It feels like Jesus is questioning Peter's sincerity when he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, three times. But repeating the question three times, while it may be painful for Peter, it also gives Peter the opportunity to profess his love for Christ three times, once for each time he just recently denied knowing Jesus at all. Here, in our reading today, Peter professes his love, but just recently, just a few chapters, a few days back, he couldn't even admit knowing Jesus, much less loving him. Remember, before his death, Jesus predicts that Peter will deny him three times, and he does. Three times, Peter is asked, hey, don't you know this Jesus? Didn't you spend time with him? And three times, Peter says, nope, not me. I don't know him. One of those times, interestingly, was near a fire that is described with a very specific word indicating not just any fire, but specifically a charcoal fire. And here in our reading today, this whole exchange between Jesus and Peter happens near a fire. And that same very specific word is used, indicating not just any fire, but specifically a charcoal fire. So what might seem to be a little pushy on Jesus' part, making Peter say it three times, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, might actually be Jesus giving Peter the chance to correct his previous failure. These parallel narratives with the charcoal fire in both, with the threefold failure in one and the threefold profession of love in the other, this isn't about Jesus doubting Peter. This is about Jesus giving Peter what he needs to overcome the guilt and shame of his personal and spiritual failure. Just like Jesus did with Thomas. Thomas said he would not believe unless he saw Jesus' wounds, even touched them for himself. And what does Jesus do? He shows up and gives Thomas exactly what he needs. He says, look here, see my wounds, put your hand and touch. This is what Thomas needs, and so this is what Jesus provides. God gives us what we need to heal and to grow so we aren't trapped in grief, sin, or shame. Asking Peter, do you love me, three times is Jesus redeeming Peter's failure. It's Jesus healing Peter's shame. It's Jesus rewiring Peter's brain, creating a memory of faith and love to counteract the memory of abandonment and grief and failure. So that's the first sentence, do you love me? It isn't about Jesus putting Peter in his place or putting him to the test. It isn't about Jesus not knowing whether Peter loves him. It isn't about Jesus making Peter feel bad. It's about Jesus knowing what Peter needs to heal and recover from his past so that he can move forward in faith and in confidence. Now, for the second sentence I'm going to lift up, I'm going to cheat a little bit because it's really two sentences. I just couldn't decide between feed my sheep and follow me. But really, it's the same thing. Because Jesus is having this conversation over breakfast on the beach, a breakfast which Jesus has provided. He's standing there at that charcoal fire with fish and bread, waiting for his disciples, and he says, "Come and eat." So when Jesus says, "Follow me," isn't that the same thing as "feed my sheep"? Because that's what Jesus does. He feeds his flock. He nurtures and nourishes. And each time Peter says that he loves Jesus, Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." This is how we love God and follow Jesus, by loving people. This is how we take the emotion and the feeling of love, the sentiment, and put it into action. This is how we take the theoretical aspect of our faith and our devotion and make it practical, by loving people in practical ways, with practical things like food, by caring for people, not just spiritually, but physically. Here in this church, our purpose is to serve one another as we live God's love. We serve one another as we live God's love. Someone was telling me recently, a member of the fellowship committee was here bringing in food to prepare for one of the many meals that they provide. And someone came up to her in the parking lot and asked, "What do you believe in this church?" I can't remember the details of the exchange, but I had the impression that the person asking the question wanted to get into a debate more than he wanted an answer. Some people just like a good argument. I heard this story downstairs in the church kitchen, and I said, "You could have just said, we believe in feeding people. That's what this church believes. We don't need sophisticated arguments or elegant answers. Jesus doesn't seem interested in that. He seems to be more concerned with practical stuff, like food. This is how we live God's love, by feeding people." Of course, there are other ways too, and different people have different gifts, but "feed my sheep" as the way to love God shows us that God wants us to be practical and grounded more than God wants us to have answers and arguments. So if we want to love God, and if we want to follow in the way of Jesus, we will feed people and care for people in practical, tangible ways. So that's the second sentence, "feed my sheep" or "follow me." At the very beginning of the reading, before Jesus meets the disciples on the beach at that charcoal fire with breakfast, before he meets them in their unsuccessful night fishing, before he helps them catch a great catch of fish, before they even go out fishing, first, the story begins with Peter saying, "I'm going fishing." Now remember, Peter was a fisherman, so this isn't a hobby. It's his occupation. Well, it's his former occupation, because Jesus found Peter and others in the boat, and he called them and invited them to leave their boats and their nets to come and follow him. Jesus said that he would make them fish for people. And so Peter did that. He left his boat and his nets, and he followed Jesus. And then Jesus died. And even though by now they're realizing that Jesus is raised, they're still not sure what it all means. Even though he's raised, he's different. They don't immediately recognize him, and he isn't going around teaching and healing like before. So when Peter says, "I'm going fishing," he's probably thinking, "Well, I guess I better get back to doing what I know." It's probably both a practical instinct, thinking about generating income and feeding his family, and it's probably an emotional instinct. In a time of deep uncertainty and major upheaval, Peter is going to do the one thing that he knows how to do well. So Peter says, "I'm going fishing." But that's not the sentence I want to put before you today. It's not "I'm going to fishing." It's the sentence that follows. Peter says, "I'm going fishing," and then the others say, "We will go with you." That's the third sentence I want to lift up before you. "We will go with you." Peter doesn't ask them to go with him. He doesn't say, "Let's go fishing." He says, "I'm going fishing." And they don't say, "Would you like some company?" And they don't say, "Oh, Peter, let's just stay here for a while." And they don't assume that he wants to be alone or that he knows what he's doing. They say, "We will go with you." They don't let him go alone. And just like "feed my sheep" and "follow me" show us how to love God by tending to the people's practical needs, "We will go with you" shows us the importance of showing up with and for each other, especially in times of grief and suffering, in times of confusion and disorientation. In challenging times, this is what the church does. We say, we will go with you. We don't try to make arguments or give advice. We don't offer solutions to life's conundrums. They don't say, cheer up, Peter, Jesus is risen. They don't say, have faith, Peter, everything will be okay. They don't offer explanations or platitudes. They just say, we will go with you. They don't have answers, but what they do have is presence. They can't tell Peter what's going to happen now that they've left their boats to follow Jesus, but now Jesus seems to have moved on. They can't tell him how to feel or how to plan for the future, but they can show up with him. They can show up for each other. We will go with you. And so they are with him when they catch nothing, and then they are with him when Jesus shows up and they get a great catch. This is what it means to be the church. We say, we will go with you. We prioritize being present and being practical with food and other necessities, but above all, we show up. We don't let people grieve alone. We don't let people struggle alone or celebrate alone. We don't let people navigate life alone. In the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, after God has created the first human, God says, it is not good for the human to be alone. And it is not good for us to be alone. We know this from modern medical research that tells us that feeling lonely is worse for your health than smoking cigarettes. But we also know it because we know it. In our hearts and in our bones, we know it. Even when we resist it because we're hurt or scared or tired or insecure, it is not good for us to be alone. So God gave us the church. God gave us each other. And God calls us to say to each other, we will go with you. We will show up with and for each other because this is how we follow Jesus, and this is how we love God. Jesus meets them on the beach with breakfast prepared, offering both presents and food, and he invites us to do the same. And Jesus specifically finds Peter and asks him, do you love me? To give him the chance to recover from his recent failure. And God shows us the same grace. For every failure, we are given the chance to learn and grow and begin again. This is the season of resurrection, a season that highlights for us the profound promise of new life and fresh starts, life after death, and a way forward after dead ends. So let us take the love of God that we have received and let us live that love in joy and in service as we show up together with food and with presence to be the church of Jesus Christ in and for the world today. May God feed us and sustain us in our ministry together. Amen.